in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 6. And in our study of Jeremiah up to this point, we have seen, and God has raised up his servant Jeremiah to provoke, warn, stimulate, stir Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, the two tribes in the south, to get them active, knowing Nebuchadnezzar was coming down. And thus we share together, that's the end. Jeremiah's assignment is to look at Israel in its terrible state and to see the more terrible, not even more, it's the reverse. Israel is in a more terrible condition. And God is sending down a terrible, terrible nation, merciless, ruthless. They're coming down and they're going to destroy Jerusalem, etc. And Jeremiah's job is to awaken the people. And he does that. So now when we come to chapter 6, this is probably the last chapter where Josiah is king. Remember, Josiah is a good king. Josiah is a good king. This is the last in this particular place where Josiah is still king. After this, chapter 7, he isn't king, and you got all bad kings. All bad kings after that. But he's about to step off the scene. So now, picking up, please. And in chapter 6, we have the sounding of the alarm, the call to escape. And God warns in a very sobering way. The enemy is going to lay siege of Jerusalem. The sky, if you look up at the sky in the north, here you are in Jerusalem, and you look northward. And if you look northward enough, you'll see Moscow. So you look northward, and there the sky is getting very, very dark. Very dark. There's a storm brewing, and it's coming right in their direction. And God is going to go in this little section we're looking at, try to look at tonight. God is going to give insight on what the Babylonians think. God does that. You realize that. We can't do it all, but you'll catch some of it. God gives you a heads up on the mood and movement of the people that are coming. He's telling you what they think ahead. He knows what they're thinking, and he reveals what they're thinking to the Israelites, to the people in Jerusalem, so they know. He says, this is what they're talking about. I'm listened in. I'm going to tell you what they're saying to awaken them. And instead of awakening them, they get worse. That's the chapter. Now, in chapter 6, and in verse 1, you begin, sounding the alarm. There's a certain invasion. No question, the invasion is already in process. And thus, to set up a standard, a sign, that's what we're looking for. God, here we are. Now, I need to go back a bit in time over to chapter 4 for a moment. In chapter 4, picking up in verse 5, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem. And say, blow ye the trumpet. That's an alarm to wake up in the land. Blow a trumpet of the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defensed cities. We've got to go. Here we are out in the outside the city in Jerusalem, the tribe of Benjamin, Judah. Here we are. We need to retreat to the cities, in particular Jerusalem. And say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard, the signpost, the guide. Set up the standard toward Zion. What are you going to do? Tell everyone. You've seen them when you're out in some places in the country. you'll see in case of evacuation, and you'll see a sign. In case of evacuation, and you know where the signs are, and they point you to where to go. God said, put a sign up, point to them where they go, evacuate, escape. And thus, verse 6, set up a standard toward Zion, retire, flee. The word retire is causative. It's a command to make full haste, to do something, take refuge very, very quickly. Save yourself by running fast. Bring yourself into a place of safety. That's the word retire. Bring yourself into you and your possessions and your family. Get on into the city. Stay not where you are. For I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. So get to Jerusalem. Okay? That's the first part. Everyone run and get to the Jerusalem. Now the storm isn't gone away. The storm's still coming down. Now what? God, chapter 6. In chapter 6. And you will note, please, before I do that, over to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. One of the things they were doing to escape, and that's what I'd like to try to do to help you understand how to escape. You have to know how to escape. There's no way out. You got to know how to escape. Here we are, and God gave us his word way back there, and the people of Jerusalem didn't listen. Cloud's coming, and if you're up on anything today, you have to know the cloud is coming. You have to be sound asleep, your head in the sand, if you don't know what's happening. Wow. Now, so here, chapter 30, God looking at Judah and Jerusalem. Woe, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. But it's the wrong counsel. You're listening to the wrong news. You're talking to the wrong people that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. In other words, they're looking for a solution without God. Verse 1, but not of my spirit, that they may, the reason they're doing it that way is that they may add sin to sin. Do you want to fix your lifestyle? Do you want to change the course of events? No, we don't. That's why we're not going to listen, really. And we'll pick that up on Sunday, 6 o'clock in the evening, I think, because I think it's interesting to capitalize on Spurgeon, Mueller, and Wesley. I think you'd be interested to cap onto that so that you catch the flavor of where we're going and why. Now, verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, to strengthen themselves. And that's the word to go to safety. That's the same word as you just read over in chapter 4 of Isaiah, chapter 4 in Jeremiah. Retire, go to safety, find safety, get out of there, run fast, find safety, find a safe place. Now I'll read it again. That walk, verse 2, to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength, that's the same verb, strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. In other words, we're going to go and flee and run and hurry to escape, to find refuge. Where? Pharaoh. Egypt. That's what they have in mind. Storm coming down, we're going to run and ask Egypt to align ourselves with them so that they could come and help us and protect us from what the storm is going to do. Nebuchadnezzar is going to do. Now, strength in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. So now, having said that, now, God, you tell him ahead. You tell him. God always tells you what's going on, but no one puts the pieces together. So now, I warned you, you're going to go down, Judah, and you're going to try to trust Egypt to rescue you from Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what you're going to do. Dumb move. You've got to escape. Ah. Chapter 40. Chapter 42, better. I didn't tell you the book, did I? Which 42 did you go to? Isaiah? That would be the normal thing to do. You know what it is. Anyway. I'm entitled to thousands of mistakes now. I'm just entitled to them. I mean, what can I tell you? Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah chapter 42. Picking up, if I can, Isaiah says, don't go to Egypt. Jeremiah is saying they're going to Egypt. And what does he tell them? Nebuchadnezzar's coming down, going to do whatever. And what are they thinking? What is the remnant, the people that are trying to learn? Not the dumb people, not the people that are out there doing their thing. They don't care about anything or anybody. Life's going to go on as you come and go. You eat and drink and do everything. And what difference does it make, the government or anything? Now, so here in verse chapter 42 of Jeremiah, God tells them not to do what Isaiah already told them not to do. Chapter 42, verse 18, and this is talking to the remnant, verse 15. Now, therefore, hear the words of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and to go sojourn there. You're trying to get out of Jerusalem, to get down there into Egypt to escape. You're going to go to Egypt, not Egypt coming to you here. Verse 18, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be excrement, a person, a thing, cursed, detested, excrement. And an astonishment, a horror, and a curse, and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not, N-O-T, into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. Let there be no question. I have publicly taken my servants and let you know. Don't do it. I tell you, we get out of this field and get to the city. I did that. Now you're thinking you're going to end up trying to go to Egypt. Don't do it. And in verse 20, for ye dissembled, to cause to mislead, to give a false message, a deceitful message. You have gone and dissembled, misled. You have said, Jeremiah, tell us what to do. Tell us, would you pray for us, Jeremiah? And would you tell us what to do to escape, to avoid what's going to happen? And Jeremiah, God makes it clear that they have said with their lips, but their heart is far away. They're a bunch of hypocrites. That's what they are. They talk up to God and pray to God, but they already have in their heart what they're going to do. I have people like that come, give me counsel. They give them counsel and you give them some stuff. And you already know, I should ask them right off, what are your intentions? And are you going to do them? Because it's no sense. Why spend time? They're already going to do what they're going to do, no matter what you say. Angel in heaven. I've said that to some dear people over the years. I said, if an angel from heaven sat in the chair right next to you, do you know you wouldn't listen to him? You wouldn't listen to him. You're already up to here. You're going to do what you're going to do. What am I going to say? Nothing. Wow. Now, so here, if I may. For ye disassembled yourselves, your hearts, when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. Oh, we'll do it. But you're a bunch of hypocrites. You aren't going to do it at all. Verse 21, and now I have said this day, declare it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, your God, nor anything for which he hath sent me unto you. You haven't heard one thing I've said. Verse 22, now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. That's what they were trying to avoid. Everything you're trying to avoid, you're going to find. The wrong approach. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. You're all going to die there. You're all going to die. Now, if you would, in the light of that, over to Jeremiah chapter 6. So in Jeremiah chapter 6 now, here he has them going from the field, out in the field and towns, to the city, especially Jerusalem. O ye children, verse 1, O you children of Benjamin, because that's where the tribe of Judah, and remember, Jeremiah is of the tribe of Judah. O children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of where? Jerusalem. That's the very place you told us to run last week. This week, you're telling us to get out of Jerusalem. That's right. Run us, and it's the same word, together, to bring, take, flee as fast as you can, bring your family, your possessions, and run. Run. Get out of there. Get out of Jerusalem. Where? To all the way down to Tekoa. I'll read verse 1. Yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet, the alarm, in Tekoa. That's 12 miles south. That's the last town before in this area before you hit the desert. It's the last town. Go all the way down to the last town, and the next place is the desert. Now, and set up a sign of fire in Beth Kakraim. Set up a fire there. Now that is the town where the Crusaders, in their battle north and south, in their battle there. That is 6 miles, right in the middle, actually. That is right in the middle between Jerusalem and Tekoa, and it's a hill. It's a cone hill, like an ice cream cone, pine cone. It's a big hill. That's where they went. It's called Frank's Mountain. It's where the Crusaders camped and kept an eye out for the enemy. And thus in the process, all you children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a sign of fire in Beth Kakraim. Because evil appeareth out of the north, is looking down. The word appearing is looking. So just think of an imagination. Here's a big storm cloud, and there is a face in the middle of the black cloud with the eyes looking down at you. Looking down. You've got the picture. That's what they're looking at. It's looking down on us. That's right. Verse 1. The evil appeareth is looking down out of the north, and great destruction, a shattering defeat is looking at you. A terrible, terrible defeat. Verse 2. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. I have likened the woman, delicate, comely, beautiful, delicate, soft, flexible, tender, pleasure-loving, etc., luxurious. That's in the verb, to be luxurious. Now, the word likened, I'm going to give you that in case you want to be a student. And the word likened has two meanings to it. Same word, same spelling, same vowels in it. So now, you have what? Well, you have the word likened. It means to place in relationship to something else, to make a like comparison, to think, to imagine, make a mental comparison, a comparison. You're looking at a woman, and this woman is comely, beautiful, delicate, luxurious, pleasure-loving, etc. All set there, primed. Everything is, they're rich and they're comfortable and they're unthreatening. You can walk over and take it. You can take it oh so easy. And the word, the same word, means to be cut off, to be destroyed, to cut off. The verb is the same word. So now, so let's put them together so you don't have that. And here is the liken. You're looking at a woman to compare. You see her, this woman, Jerusalem, Zion, is comely. She's beautiful. She's luxurious. She's content in her eating and drinking and buying and selling. She's content in her personal life. And she's, that's what she is. She's very comfortable. And now you want to get the next part. Verse 3. And the shepherds, with their flock shall come unto her. Now, so here's a woman, beautiful, unthreatened. You can walk in and take whatever. The door of the house is open. Take whatever you want. Wow. And now, the shepherds. Now, God, what are you trying to say? The storm coming down, Nebuchadnezzar. They're going to see this. They're after Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Jerusalem is, of all the cities in the world, historically, what city in all of history stands out? Apart from Babylon in a bad way, what one? It's Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Always Jerusalem. Always Jerusalem. And in the millennium, what is the one city in all the world? Jerusalem. Where do they want to go? Where do they need to go? Jerusalem. Now, here's Babylon coming down, and they are like shepherds, herdsmen, the word verb to feed. And they're coming down, and their flocks, that's their army, the armies are coming down. They're all coming down. And what do they see? Now, what do shepherds want? Shepherds need to feed the sheep, don't they? You need to feed the flock. That's right. What do they see? Babylon coming down doesn't see a big threat. They aren't going to have a big battle where they lose. They're coming down and they got easy pickings. And here they come. And wow. And here they are. And their army's coming. They are hungry. Little sheep are hungry. The army, the sheep, if you would, are hungry, hungry sheep. They're going to ravage the land. They're going to come and see green pasture. They're going to see the woman as green pasture for the picking. And they're going to come in, and you know what sheep do. They go all the way down to the ground in eating. They're going to clean the ground from Jerusalem. All of it, they're going to clean it. And they're hungry. The sheep are hungry. Let me find it. You'll see it. And the shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. All of the commanders are lined up. They're all put in order around the city. And they all have their assignment. And they're all going to go, going to come into that city. And they're going to all make sure everyone, all the sheep, all the army is satisfied with rape and arson and killing and murder and whatever. They're going to ravage the land. That's what they're going to do. Wow. Now, And thus you come, if I can. And remember now, they're going to come, and the pasture, they're coming, the enemy sees a city as a pasture, the comely woman as a inviting pasture, very inviting. And thus they're going to come, and they're going to come, shepherds are going to come, the shepherds are going to come to down with their sheep, with their army, to feed. And that's what they're doing. And they're excited about it. And thus, now, God, remember we said, God, you're going to help them. Here's Jeremiah telling you ahead of time. He's going to tell them, what is the cloud? What is Babylon? What is Nebuchadnezzar? What are they thinking? What is their mood? How do they feel about coming down to you? If you could sit in and listen at headquarters in Babylon, what would they be talking about? And God gives it to them. Now, verse 4. Prepare ye war. And that to make ready, to hear the invaders are coming, prepare to make war. Intensive. Do it intently. Intently. Prepare ye war against her. And arise and let us go up at noon. So we're preparing for war. The invaders are coming, and the word prepare is the word to be holy, the word holy, to be consecrated. The priest consecrated themselves. The priests were holy. Now, what do you mean? Prepare, holy. What do you do before you go to war? Assyrians, Babylonians, what did they do? They went to their gods, because every nation had their gods, and your God has to beat their God. That's what the war is about, the gods of war. And they've got it. That's what they did. We don't do that anymore, not that way. And that's what they did. So they had to sanctify. They had to sacrifice. They had to dedicate. That's the word. Prepare, dedicate, have a dedication, a commitment, a consecration, a setting apart that our God would defeat their God. Prepare ye war against her. And let us go up at noon. They're eager to go. No need to, noon, you don't go at noon. No one goes at noon. Daylight, hungry, sleepy time. You don't know. That's the wrong time to go to war. They're hungry to get to this pasture, to get to Jerusalem, to take it all. They're hungry for it. Now, prepare your war against them. Let us go up at noon. And they're all excited to charge at noon. They surround the city. Woe unto us, they say. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away. For the shadows of the evening are stretched out. And it's getting light. It's getting dark. We can't see. The sun's gone down. The shadows are lengthening, stretching out. We're not going to see. But you know what? We're so hungry. We're so moved, motivated to capture, to do everything to level the land, each one of us, that we're going to go and keep going even in the nighttime. We aren't going to stop. Thus, in verse 5, arise, let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces, her buildings, and everything. Why? Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, hew ye down trees, cast them out against Jerusalem. What do they do? Well, what does anyone do? When you go to war, what do? You need boomerangs, catapults, you need battering rams. What do? They strip the land of trees, forest, orange, all the fruit trees, all go. In fact, they bare the land, clean it, and they're going to go and take buckets of dirt to build up mounds, to go up that wall, to be able to just go right up the wall, over the wall. Wow, they're going to do that. That's what they're going to do. Verse 6, hew ye down trees, cast them out against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. The word visited is to be punished. She is, why? Why are we going to punish this city? She is holy oppression in the midst of her. All she can do, she is covered from head to toe. She is oppressed. And in the process, she is, oppression is coming out of her all the time. It's coming out of her. There's no change in attitude, and she is, this woman, this Jerusalem, isn't changing her mind about anything. Nothing at all. No. And in the process, she is going to come, and they're going to, as we said, cast up a mount against her, and the oppression, everyone, you know, the city is filled with oppression, and the hostility is the word. It's a sick city, a wicked city. Would you go over with me just to see that, just for a minute? Over to chapter 2 and verse 13, remember. Chapter 2 and verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. What are they? They have forgotten me, forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So they're seeking to provide and work on their own basis, based on everything apart from God. They're going to use all of God's creation as best they can to get water and everything, but they aren't going to trust the God who created it. Over to chapter 4 and in verse 18. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. It's all the way down inside of you. Back over to chapter 6. This oppression, this being oppressed, hostile against God, rebellious, etc. Verse 7. As a fountain casteth out her waters, as a fountain casteth out her waters, you will note. The water. Now, what does a fountain do? And this is the word well, the well, cast out, a well, a spring. So a cistern needs to add water. Springs come up from the inside. They're internal. They just keep bubbling up water, bubbling up. Israel is bubbling up, not water. It's bubbling up wickedness. It just never ends. The water never stops coming up out of the ground, out of the heart, wickedness. That's why you want to know, why is this nation coming down against you? Because of your wickedness. Now, in verse 7, as a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil are going to be yelled out in that day. Is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. God said, when? There's no healing. There's no health. Help. There's no health. Health. None whatsoever. So we're looking. Oppression. No healing. No health. Nothing there. So here we are. Verse 8. Now, having said that, there's no help for them. No help. And so God, now, interestingly enough, God, you would say at this point, Josiah is going to step off the scene and the bad kings are going to come on. Now, you would say, well, it's hopeless and you just ought to let it go. But you know, and we've said it before, God in his wonderful grace says another warning. And thus, verse 8, be thou instructed. Be thou instructed. And in the process, being instructed, O Jerusalem, the word instructed, to be warned. You want to escape the enemy, you're going to have to fix something. You're going to have to pay attention to what I tell you. Be instructed, be warned, O Jerusalem. If you will not hear, now remember now, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20, I set before you a choice, life or death, blessing or cursing. Choose. They chose death and cursing, and that's what they got. Now, So now, God, and you want to remember that in your life. When you get so down and dump in the dumps and you louse up your life something fierce, it's wonderful that you can turn to God on your knees and heart, and God will be merciful to you. That's a wonderful thing. Now, here he says, God gives them a warning. Be thou instructed, be warned, O Jerusalem. Now, if you are not warned, Jerusalem, what are we going to then know? Jeremiah, you're going to call out, everyone, wake up. Are you listening? Because if you don't listen, O Jerusalem, verse 8, lest my soul, said God, depart from thee, and lest my soul depart, be alienated, to stand off from a thing, to turn away from a thing. My soul is going to turn away from you. And instead of knowing my blessing, you'll know my cursing. And not only that, lest my soul is going to, I'm going to depart, and I will make thee desolate. I will make thee desolate. An astonishment, a horror to lay waste. I will make thee desolate. Your land will be stripped and a land not inhabited. No one will live there. I'm going to empty the land. I'm going to empty the land. And that's what he did. That's what he did. Now, having said that, get that little bit of it. Having said that, now, applying that a little bit. You got to escape to get to the city. Did you change your mind yet? No, we didn't change our mind. Now you got to go to the southern part, Tekoa. You didn't change your mind. Are you going to change your mind in Tekoa? No, we're not going to change our mind. It's just got, the winds are going to stop. It isn't. I told you to run where to go, and I would have protected you in Jerusalem. I would have stopped the army. How easy do you think it was for me to stop that massive army of Babylon coming down? All I had to do was this. And they wouldn't have gone anywhere. Did you know that? But you didn't. And therefore, you're going to have to now run again. All the way. You got to keep running. Running and hide. Run and hide. Okay. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to, what they could have done. We'll do that first. Over to Isaiah 26. In Isaiah 26, we have a clue of what they're going to do in the tribulation. So how are 144,000 Jews that are going to be protected, and other Jews, how are they going to be protected? God, what are you going to tell them? Are you going to make the tribulation go away? No, the tribulation isn't going away. Is the storm going to go away? No, the storm isn't going away. Then we got to escape. Where do we go to hide? Chapter 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth, the whole earth. Why do you know? They're all going to come against you. They're all going to come from all over. Zechariah 14, 13. They're going to come strolling in from all over the world into Jerusalem. Battle of Armageddon, etc. That's what they're going to do. I want you to hide. 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 I'm going to have a little place for you. You see it in a sec. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, to Psalm 31. I'm interested how David had to keep hiding from Saul, etc. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 19. Little things, just if they did them. You see it. 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy what? Presence. What place is that? Where you are, God. Where you are. I am protected. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Chapter 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And all this thing is enemies all about me. But, there you are, God. Now they can go against me, but they can't go against you. No, they can't. Not succeed. They can't do it. Over, if you would, please. In your Bible, to Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, just on the other side of the coin here, here are all the nations of the world, and we've got to hide from them. Hide. And Israel's trying to hide from them. The believers are trying to hide and escape, etc. And that's it. Now, God, what do we know? Is there a day? A day's coming that it's going to change. And they're all after you until I am after them. Revelation 6, verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, every free man hid themselves, the public, the employees and everybody. Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Where do we run and hide from God? Now the world, where do you hide? If for a person, where do you hide from the world? The world, the flesh, and the devil. I wonder where you hide. Where do you go to get, apart from a spaceship going to Mars? And even then, you know, wow. The world system, you can't go anywhere in this world. Where do I escape? What about your flesh, your heart? Wherever you are, your heart is, your old nature is. How do I hide myself from that? How do I hide myself from the devil and his system and his demons? How do I hide myself from that? I don't know how to hide myself from that. I don't know where to go. Do you? Where do you hide yourself from disease? Where do you hide yourself from discouragement and disappointment and depression? Apart from God, where do you do it? Where do you want to go? Now, you can take pink pills and green pills and orange pills. You can do whatever you want. I'm just trying to tell you, there's no place to hide. You can run, but you can't what? You can't hide. Now, For us. Over, if you would. Colossians, why not? Easy to see. In Colossians, to escape the tribulation, the Antichrist, and interestingly enough, back to Israel, what is Israel going to do to try to escape right in these days? It's going to get even more difficult. So difficult that they're going to need, and the world, not just Israel, but the rest of the world is going to maneuver to play the game. And the devil is in charge now, not Islam and not the European community. The devil is playing his hand for his man. Now, what's Israel going to do? Where are they going to run and hide this time? They're going to go not to Egypt. They're going to go to the Antichrist, aren't they? And make a treaty. And the dumb, the people, the Israelites, they aren't dumb, we're all dumb. And the Israelites, what are they going to do? It's going to turn around. The very guy they make a treaty to hide from is going to come and hunt them down. Remember Matthew 24? When you see his image go up in the temple, what are you to do? Run as fast as you can and get out of the city. Get out of this place. That's right. That's right. They come to him and it's going to turn around. We're trusting the world. In fact, they're out there And anyway, without, you don't need to get into all that. But a lot of stuff out there. And in the process, we don't need, the world is going to do what it does. And God, you're going to have to help us in it, through it, in spite of it. Now, Colossians chapter 3. God, you know it. Hide. I'm going to read verse chapter 3, time's sake. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For reason, you are dead, and your life is what, dear friend? Hid where? With Christ where? In God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Where are we hid? We're hidden in Christ, in God. True. Now, I'll give you another little thought that'll help you. Now, you just read that. And all of the rest of it, all of the rest of it. Here's the whole 66 books. Now, God, I'm going to read all that. Now, I'm going to say, God, I want to understand all of what you said. How do I know? How do I know this? How do I know that? Now, you're going to read simple, clear English. You're going to read it, and knowing the manuscripts were well attested to, and they put the best efforts they did coming forward. Now, I'm going to read that. Whose life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ is, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Now, why am I so absolutely certain? I read that and it touches my heart. You know why? It isn't because I understand that. God does. And it isn't I didn't write it. God does. Now, when God does that, and I'm looking to read that, and for God to do it in my heart, I'm looking for God to do that. And God, are you going to do it per the English language? Or are you going to do it based on what you said? So if there's a little variation, I don't need to worry about the variation, because I'm not trusting the Scripture. I'm trusting the God who gave the Scripture. And God is going to go. You could write, listen, you could just down now and write, you could write John 3:16 in a whole new way. Couldn't you? Now, you could say, this is what it says. And you can write that. But you know what? God isn't going to go by what you wrote and what you read. He's going to go by what he said. And you're learning to what? Trust him who said it. So you're not sitting there, how do I know that? You know it because he said it. And you're looking for him to exercise that which you got a little bit of sense about to trust it. God, protect me. My life is hid with Christ in God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, I am wonderfully, wonderfully preserved, protected, right now in the middle of it all. I'm in the world, but what? I'm not to be of it. All the pressures are there. Your faith, what is the victory that overcometh the world? Even your faith. You're going to look to God. God's going to do a wonderful work in your heart. That's what's going to happen. And you're going to rest in that. And you don't get all tied up in your dumb mentality. Not you. You get excited about the God who said something and made it clear enough that you could read it and possess it, and you're trusting God to make it work. And that's the only reason it's going to work. Not because it's written. It's because God said it. And God doesn't need a written Bible. Do you understand that? God doesn't need a Bible at all. Wow. Now, so, God, here we are. Oh, well, what can I tell you? Well, we're right here. Over to Philippians. We'll close with that. I trust you got a little bit. You and I have a wonderful, wonderful protection. We're wonderfully, wonderfully protected. And I don't need to go anywhere to escape problems, pressures, disease, danger, anywhere. I don't need to run. Do you? I don't need to run. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. And God has already said, stand still and know that I am God. Resist the devil and what, dear friends? He'll what? He'll flee. You don't have to sweat. Are you going to trust me or not? That's all I know. I didn't ask for your intelligence. I didn't ask for anything. I asked if you would give me credit. Without you giving me credit, you cannot please me. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please me. You're either going to give me credit for who I am, or you're not. That's wonderful. God. So I don't need to run anywhere and hide. Israel, did you learn anything? Not yet. Not yet. But after the Antichrist and after Matthew 24 and after they're in out there and scattered all over the place and being hunted like animals, they will then wake up. And they'll turn to God, where they should have gone in the first place. And when Jerusalem is totally surrounded, and the enemy coming in like a flood, God will move in one moment, and the whole city will be protected. And all the dangers that were so imminent and fierce and awesome, wow! But they aren't anymore. They aren't anymore. Now, I hope you got a little bit. I don't have to run and hide, neither do you. And there is nowhere to go to hide. So cheer up. Roll up your sleeves and go with it. God has to help us. Anyway, thank you for that. Trust you got a little.